Ask Catherine. We have a lot of great questions tonight. Let me go through them with you. One person asked me if I'd read a book on the history of Zionism, and I have ordered. I would note that a lot of you make great suggestions about books, and it's frightening how many books I either receive in the mail or buy every month. They pile up all over the house and at the den. I will make an effort to read it, and I certainly appreciate all your suggestions. If I don't read 40 books a month, you'll understand, but I will certainly try to get to many of them. Another question, are you aware of Walter Burian and his 15-year crusade to bring the public's attention to the concealment of vast government wealth by hiding it in the comprehensive annual financial reports of all levels of government, on and on and on? Yes, this is something I've spoken about in the Saleri report many times. My work in the 90s was very much involved with providing place-based disclosure of federal government, but we were going to move on to state and local monies. That includes everything that Walter talks about and many other things as well. I don't promote Walter's work constantly because I feel that there is, he's not an expert in municipal accounting and finance. And he makes a lot of oversimplifications, which I think can hurt his credibility with people who are involved with those accounts. The gist of what he says is very useful and very important. And so in no way is this meant to be a criticism, but I think he does not give you the story sufficient that you can turn around and do something at your local county board with your state pension fund. But I think looking at governmental funds, flow of funds and assets on a local, county, and statewide basis, if every one of us sat down and got a hold of the consolidated and annual financial reports and pulled them apart and started to bring transparency to how governmental money worked around us, I think the opportunities to completely shift our situation in unbelievably positive directions to create local jobs, to help local businesses succeed would be absolutely unbelievable because the law is on our side and a lot of this money can be shifted over. I would also stress you don't want to just look at the financial flows because one of the biggest drains is not through the financial pools, it's by government paying for assets to be created, like the underground bases, like the UFOs, like the black budget technology, and then those things end up being owned by private parties. So it is that transfer of real assets off the balance sheet, which is as if not more powerful than the games around the financial assets. So when you look at the balance sheet, think about the covert games going on with the real assets and the financial assets together. You don't want to miss the real assets because there's the biggest game is on the real asset side. Anyway, but thank you very much for bringing that up. I need to keep reminding everybody to go get their consolidated annual financial reports and start drilling down. Next question, Jim Poplava referenced 1,400 companies compromising 50% of the world's GDP. Any place we can get a list broken down by sector? I do not know if Jim was referring to a specific index or ETF holding. It's probably a broad market basket, but I've emailed and asked him for which one. I am a subscriber at Morningstar and use a lot of their databases. There are plenty of subscription services that can get you a broad market breakdown of the top. You name the number of companies. In fact, when we created Hamilton Securities Group, we had a great software tool that would, you could put in a list of your ticker symbols up to the first 1,000 of the Fortune 1000, and it would print out a map of where all your employees were so you could see what parts of the world and the economy you were impacting. Another question, what type of night vision goggles should I get to see what is going on overhead? I was told that you really need the $2,000 version. I think that's the, it's three times or four times. I got a much lower version. I only wanted to go for the 450, so I'm going to try them, and I just have them and haven't used them. It's a good question. I'll see if I can find somebody who can give me the 411 on that, but I thought I'd start with the lower lower power, and I have wonderful allies who offered to lend me their fancy ones, which I will try to do the next time I get out to California. So I will report what I see. Just watching the recordings that Richard Dolan was presenting were fascinating. I encourage you to watch his presentation on the Secret Space Program stream, because he had recordings that showed you what you see with through a night vision goggle. Very interesting. Another question, I want to see the old versus the new financial system around me locally, but I'm not sure where I should be looking. I see vendors swiping credit cards on iPhones, etc., but I want to validate more. You want to watch the flow cut from one thing to another. So watch the dollar flow and the business cut from the physical to the online. So in many discussions, I've used the example when I drive into any big city, what I'm seeing is big warehouses go up on the edge of the city while the malls empty out. That's one way of watching the physical to the online, but you can also look at statistics about street traffic in the malls versus what's happening in various online venues. I follow a lot of those statistics. Another is to watch the flow from the desktop to the mobile. Watch the money going into apps and other things that facilitate that shift from desktop to mobile. Watch the gross volume of Bitcoin ownership and trading. Watch the cut from U.S. dollar to other currencies in terms of trade or in terms of total size of market cap. You can also watch there are different ways to watch the relationship of the stock market capitalization of given countries to their overall GDP, and you'll start to see the flow cut out over. The thing that is the hardest for me is to see help you see the covert economy within a place. It's something I've spent a lot of time learning how to do. In fact, one of the things I thought of is we ought to have a community quest to kind of find and see the overt and the covert economy within a place. Kind of think of it as like a covert treasure hunt within your community. There's a wonderful group in Vermont that does community quests that help you understand the natural life and economy in your place. But there's no reason why we couldn't do a community quest to see the breakaway civilization in your place. It's an interesting idea. Andrew, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Bisaggio, is a man claiming that decades ago he was involved in Project Pegasus, a secret U.S. program involving teleportation and time travel. He further claims in many YouTube videos that he teleported to Mars, where he says the U.S. has a small colony located there, and that he's also traveled through time as part of this project. Do you believe that something like this could be true? I have no idea if Andrew's claims are true. I don't know what the facts are as to our presence on Mars or ability to time travel. If I had to guess, and this is purely conjecture, I think the chances are 90% or better that we have colonies on Mars. If we don't have one yet, we're certainly doing everything we can get to get there rapidly. If you look at the media and the movies and all the marketing to get kids interested in going to Mars and being on a colony on Mars and all these kind of things, it's very significant. So it wouldn't surprise me if we've done it. Do I think there's time travel? If you look at the different sort of unusual situations that have been used to describe evidence of time travel, what I would say is somebody's got it. Whether we have it or not, I don't know, but somebody's got it. So we're seeing time travel, symptoms of time travel happening. Whether we have it or not, I just don't even know how to guess that. If there's evidence of it happening, then I assure you we've either got it or we're doing everything in our power to get it. And I think that's one of the reasons you see this money go down the black budget, because when the leadership feels it's urgent to get this kind of technology, they go through extraordinary efforts and money will spare no expense. And that's one of the things we discussed in San Mateo. I was at an over-the-top wedding reception in a county in Northern California last weekend and had an interesting conversation with one of the guests. The man is going to work for Goldman Sachs from his position with a private equity firm. When I asked what his job entailed, he told me that he would be overseeing the management of the personal investment pools with Goldman Sachs employees and executives. I then asked him what he was investing in. Very succinctly, he stated private equity. That is to say, not publicly traded companies. Now, that was very telling, don't you think? Actually, there's nothing new there. When I was a partner at Dillon Reed, even when I was the vice president, I was also married to my second husband, was a partner at Skadden Arps. And both firms had a capacity to do private deals, including for the employees and the partners. And there was a regular flow of investment deals that we saw. If you look at the private equity on things that are sort of rigged in a variety of ways, like the private equity on Facebook before it went public, that very much goes through these different groups. That's been going on for decades. You know, if you looked at our business model when I was on Wall Street, we had one, you know, our bread and butter investment banking and financial advisory business sort of paid for the lights. And then our market operations and trading made us about a 30% return. And then every once in a while, we hit the long ball on big deals that came through and where we took principal positions. That was our biggest money, if you will. So in one sense, this is as old as the, you know, as the hills. It's been going on for decades, in fact, centuries. And it's one of the real reasons you want to work at some of these firms is you get in these deal flows. Now, I say that, let me also specify, it looks to me like more and more of the real return in these deal flows is being hogged by the insiders. So rather than those firms taking a piece, there's more and more. And we've seen a lot of IPOs never make it out over the last 2 years because the big companies are buying them up, or Wall Street, you know, our various insiders are getting the inside deal. And that's very much part of the switch to shadow banking and sort of doing things covertly. So it wouldn't surprise me if the private equity capacity in these firms is increasing in size. So I think you're very right to point it out, because there's no doubt about it. They're reserving the sort of new hot things to the insiders and trying to persuade the general public to go into index funds and not notice that they're missing this piece. And I think that's why it's unbelievably important, if you want to be successful over the next 20 or 30 years, you absolutely want to avail yourself of what's going on in the frontier and the emerging markets, because the insiders are going to sort of scarf up a lot of what's available in the developed world. Next question, please take 30 minutes to watch Dane Wigington's presentation. Dane's a former Bechtel Power employee, and it's a presentation on the drought engineered with global spraying in California. And we will put that up on the blog. I believe it'll be up next week. The question is, since Coast is owned by Clear Channel, why do they have Dane on Coast to Coast? Why is he allowed to tell his story? Excellent question. I believe part of it is it's a steam valve. So you need to have some kind of channels, and by having them, it affirms the credibility of the general system. But I also think the tit for tat on that is there is a lot that is required to go on, which is not that useful, and it sort of muddles up the mix, if you will. Also from the same person asking the question, a question about one of the engineering firms buying up competitors. Are they consolidating power? Yes, absolutely. There is a lot of consolidation going on right now, both in the private equity markets as well as in the public markets, and consolidation in intellectual capital. At the same time, note the cancellation of deals this week. We see Fox, Rupert Murdoch canceling its deal or bid for Time Warner. T-Mobile and Sprint pulls the deal. Their effort to consolidate, they don't think they'll get regulatory approval. Walgreens giving up their tax inversion deal, although they said they're going to go forward with a Swiss acquisition. So what that tells me is you have a lot of big business people who don't want to be hanging out if there's a liquidity event. And it is a chilling signal. And so consolidating of power has been sort of, some of it has been put on a kibosh by the nature of the environment. But yes, I think there is an enormous consolidation. It'll be interesting to see how that rolls out, given that the Grove just finished. And we'll see what happens when we come in, take a look at sort of what the signals coming out of the new budget is. We'll know by October 1st. That'll be another big round of signals. I got a request to read one of Mike Adams' new warnings on Ebola and Monsanto. And what I just have to say is, please do not listen to Mike Adams, who is, his website is Natural News. You know, if he puts out a scare thing, a lot of it is terribly over-exaggerated. It's not well-informed. I don't trust his material. So please do be careful. While we're at it, please do also not trust Porter Stansberry. There are more than a couple people who really beat the drumbeat of fear, and they are not to be trusted. They do a very clever job of, I'm always getting requests from subscribers or clients saying, oh, should I get this Porter Stansberry product? It sounds just like you. They do a very good job of sort of scarfing up other people's speeches and then marketing to their subscribers and clients. So be very, very careful on both of those. If somebody is trying to persuade you of something based on something that is terrifying, you know, just please be careful. One thing I do want to note, and this is not about terror, this is just about practical and good sense. I want you to be ready for the 5% problem. Every year, the Solari team and I review and update and refresh our disaster recovery plan. We're required to by law, and so we do, but it's very good discipline, very good practice. I want to make sure I have at least 1 to 3 months of food and cash and provision on hand, and you should too. The reason is not because the end of the world is coming. It's not. The reason is if you look at how people get in trouble, let me give you a sense of some of them. Katrina, the Kentucky power outages, New York floods, California forest fires, Toledo has water problems, tornadoes in Oklahoma, 9/11, tsunamis in Japan and Indonesia, the volcano ash in Iceland and Europe. Wherever you live, whether it's North America, Europe, Asia, whatever continents, these events happen. And they generally only hit one area, but they can happen to any of us, and the economic impact can ripple through the global economy in all sorts of ways. What I see is one of the greatest ways my subscribers lose time and effort is they worry about this stuff. If you're wise and prepared for the 5% chance that it's going to happen in your neighborhood over the next year, you don't have to worry because you've done it, you're prepared. And then you're free to rock and roll. So make sure you get free to rock and roll because these things are going to continue to happen. To a certain extent, they always have, but the internet and the way we relate to each other really shows us our connections much more intimately and much more quickly.